listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Hey, CMDA, I am so glad to be back with you this week on CMDA Matters. I'm most grateful for Pastor Burt Jones. I think he did a fantastic job filling in for me as your host in the last couple of weeks. I want you to know that I was away for a couple of weeks as my father, Dr. Ray Chubb, he went to be with the Lord on March 11th after a 2.5 month acute neurological decline, and that was due to a previously undiagnosed brain tumor. So on March 11th, a Monday, I got to spend the last 15 hours of my father's life with him there in Greenville, South Carolina, in a hospital at his bedside, first in the neurocritical care unit, and then for the last few hours of his life on a hospice unit with him and my mother Mary and several brothers and my sister. And I have to tell you that it was one of the most profound and sacred days of my life to be right there with my dad, listening to some of his favorite hymns being played, praying with my family, and expressing our gratitude to God for Dad and all that he had done and meant to us as a family. This past weekend, I joined my mom, Mary, who was married to my dad for 62 years, and five younger siblings and our extended family, celebrating his life and his legacy in Greenville, South Carolina. And then over this coming Easter weekend, we will lay him to rest near his hometown in Frankfort, Indiana. Our whole Chubb family, we're going to be placing our hope in and celebrating Christ's resurrection power with renewed fervor this Easter. Over the last couple of months, our senior staff leadership team at CMDA headquarters, we've been reading a book entitled Permission to Speak Freely by Mr. Doug Crandall and Matt Kincaid. Our CMDA team has really come to understand from that book, Permission to Speak Freely, that it is very important to make space to have those open, authentic conversations with the people that we lead. Doug and Matt are both senior leaders with an organization called the Referent Group, and CMDA, we're starting to partner with them on some of the leadership and coaching courses that we offer through our Center for Well-Being. So for this week's episode, we asked Doug to join us for a conversation about his new book, along with Dr. Tom Husted, who is the co-founder as well as the president of the Referent Group. This particular aspect of leadership, friends, is so critical for healthcare professionals, because whether we understand and or appreciate it, we're all leaders surrounded by people who need to be able to speak freely to us on a wide range of issues. So keep listening, and you're going to hear a great conversation with Pastor Burt Jones, Dr. Tom Husted, and Mr. Doug Crandall.
Well, thank you for joining us today on CMDA Matters. My name is Pastor Burt Jones, and I serve as the Vice President here of Missions and Member Care at the CMDA. I'm really excited about a new partnership that we've been developing at CMDA with an organization developing leaders in the healthcare community. And that group is called the Referent Group, and you're going to learn more about that today on the podcast. Today, we have the privilege of having the president, CEO, and the VP head of teaching at the Referent Group on our show today. Their bios are on the show notes, but let me introduce you, Dr. Tom Husted and Doug Crandall. Welcome, guys, to the podcast today.
Thanks for having us, Bert.
Thanks, Bert.
And I've been looking forward to this conversation since I knew that we had this scheduled, and I know our listeners are going to be blessed today. Tom, let me start with you. We first met through Dr. Steve Sartori, who is the former head of our Center for Well-Being, the founder of our Center for Well-Being, and heard so many good things about you. And then you and I had a chance to connect together at the Louisville Conference this past year. Tell us a little bit about the Referent Group and why you're focusing on leadership development within the medical community.
The Referent Group was really born out of a calling, quite honestly. I was at a global leadership summit in 2017, and I had been thinking about how we could address some of the issues in medicine that I was seeing after years in the military and leading in medicine and even getting out and working in the kind of civilian sector of people just quite honestly leaving medicine. And it was whether it's burnout or call it moral injury, whatever it was, people were leaving medicine. My focus was initially physicians, because that's what I am. I'm a physician. But as I got into it, I could see it was nurses and dentists and healthcare executives and you name it, the healthcare world. So when I say healthcare, I kind of mean all of those mm-hmm. different professions. But what it caused me to do was take some time to think about how can we address it? What can we do about it? And I went into the literature and I was looking at ways, truly like research-based ways to address this issue, and leadership development kept popping up in different ways. It's not the only way, but it's certainly a big part of it in my mind. And I knew that was something that I could do and address. And the co-founder and I, Todd Nail, who's a pastor, we got together and said, hey, we can do this. We can do better in medicine. And I think leadership development is a significant part of that, because what was finding, is that we're just surviving in medicine, mm-hmm. barely sometimes. And that was forcing them to leave. And how do you create the place where people can succeed or thrive? And good leaders can do that. So I can sincerely remember the calling to, okay, Tom, this is what I want you to do. This is what I've prepared you for all these years of different things that you've done. You're set up to do this. And so I needed a good curriculum, a good way to approach that problem. And I went out and met with Doug and Matt Kincaid, who, Doug will talk more about a book that they've written, but I've known Doug since we were cadets at West Point. And they had been leading in the kind of all different sectors of industries doing leadership development. And so I said, hey, we need this in healthcare. And I kind of say I stole them and said, come do this, what you do so well, and bring it to healthcare because we need it and we can do better. And so that was where the referent group was born.
Doug, let me ask a follow-up question to that, because when I first came to the Christian Medical and Dental Association years ago and was teaching leadership, I discovered that most of our members were leaders by their title, not necessarily by their training. Have you found that to be true? And what's your experience with training the medical community today?
It's interesting. Like we dig into that real quickly. Like, what is leadership? And it's defined in so many different ways when you get into programs like these, and then you would qualify kind of what you're saying around whether you're a leader by your title or by trade in the medical industry. And we simply say, like, you're a leader if people are following you. Mm-hmm. And leave it at that. And so the answer is yes, because almost everybody in the medical industry, whether you're running a practice or you're in an emergency room with three other people, like, they're looking to you for direction, guidance, whether you want them to be or not. And so I think that makes the relevance to this endeavor that we're on. It brings relevance to it just with that simple definition. Like, you're a leader if people are following.
Right. Doug, we're so excited that you're going to be at the National Convention this year and teaching the class on your new book for our leadership track, Permission to Speak Freely. You guys sent this to me. I read it, couldn't put it down, went to our senior management team and senior staff, said, we got to read this book, and we're currently doing it. It's interesting right now that almost every conversation starts off with permission to speak freely, and then they go on to say, so it's working here. Tell us a little bit about the book and why it's so important, and how you create a culture that people can actually speak freely.
I think it's important for a number of reasons, especially you start talking about the healthcare industry, or you're just talking about people of faith at a very human level. Like, people want to be heard. Like, I hear that again and again. I've seen it. I see it in papers I read when I'm grading, and people are just sharing their journey. Or we ask people sometimes, like, what's the most important thing someone needs to know about leading you? It's a question we have for discussion around tables. You get the answer, like, people, like, my leader needs to know that I just want to be heard. I want to be seen. So at a very fundamental level, it's a human book. It's a servant leadership book, although we don't use those specific words in the book. And then there's just all sorts of organizational imperatives for people speaking up. The research demonstrates that if people do feel like they can speak freely, engagement goes up, innovation goes up, organizational outcomes improve. So there's very practical reasons for it as well. So I think that's what's interesting about it, is I believe it in my heart. I believe that as leaders, like, we make people's lives better when they have permission to speak freely. And then from a practical bottom line perspective, we make organizations better as well.
It seems like it's such a common sense kind of idea, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But when you read it and then you start implementing it and putting it into practice, it really makes a big difference. Doug, to further that, how can leaders create that kind of healthy culture? Because it's not just something you can just kind of start off with and just kind of blast someone away with this piece of truth. How do you create that healthy culture of candor?
Yeah, Bert, I love that you brought up, like, it seems almost like a common sense thing, because I think I don't know that we run into a lot of cynics around this idea, but if you do run into some cynics, it is along those lines. Okay, come on, this is simple. We know people need to be able to speak up. But it's such a, like your question, like how do you create that culture? We're not in them that often. And like, we go back to the idea that like in kindergarten, I mean, my wife was a kindergarten teacher for a number of years. And if she'll ask a question of a bunch of 5 and 6 year olds, every hand will go up, whether they know the answer or not. Mm-hmm. You know, what's a carnivore? A person who loves carnivals, like they'll just throw out answers. Like a guy named Dr. Ken Robinson had a TED talk years ago about like kids will give it a go, and it gets beat out of us. Like, so when you're talking culture, you're talking about what people believe. Well, we just get conditioned. Like in middle school, you start getting, well, that's a stupid question. And yeah. Your classmates are snickering or your teacher shoots you down. So we're fighting all those things when we're trying to create like a culture where people can speak freely. Ultimately, like culture is about beliefs. And the number one thing a leader can do, it's not even in behaviors. It's like the way we think, you know, just do I really want to hear what people have to say? Am I being gratuitous in my desire? I have lip service. I have an open door policy, which everyone knows means you don't really have an open door because you got to say you do. Or can people tell just like by the looks on my face and the questions I ask that they truly want to hear what I have to say? And it goes to a lot of things like the book we delve into. It's about ideas and people saying when they think there's an ethical problem, but it's also about just the freedom to say, I don't know, or can you help me? Mm-hmm. You just use an acronym, and I didn't understand what the acronym meant, but I'm afraid to say it, so I'm going to pretend like I did.
Right.
And now we're not on the same page. So I think that culture starts like just in our own heads as leaders, and what we truly are, we genuinely curious, and do we really want to hear what people have to say?
Tom, I've often heard that leaders shouldn't be the first to speak in a conversation that they're leading, and oftentimes can kind of curtail good conversation. What are some other ways that people can compromise a good integrity of an open conversation? What leaders can kind of shut things down. What are some things you've heard people say that can shut down a conversation?
Well, there's a lot of research, and Doug talks about this in the book and every time we teach around leaders just talk too much. Hmm. Particularly when we start the conversation as leaders, we've already kind of set what we think. People are looking to their leaders for the way they should go. And so if leaders anchor the conversation by starting it or talking too much or interrupting or whatever that is, so often the person who's around that table with them won't say anything, or they'll only say things that they think the leader wants to hear. So to your point, creating a culture where, as Doug said, you really want to hear what they have to say, not what they think you want to hear, is really important. And Doug goes after a number, and Matt go after a number of different principles in getting rid of some of those stigmas and bringing out a culture where people feel comfortable.
Doug, leaders are often intuitive, right? And so that means when they hear an idea or when they come up with their own idea, but oftentimes when you hear someone else's idea, your first gut is to kind of jump to a conclusion. Do you have any tips for our listeners today about how to listen carefully to some of the things that people are saying instead of being judgmental in those responses and shutting down the conversation?
Yeah, I love, Bert, I don't know if you've seen Ted Lasso or not, but we sometimes use a clip with, you know, he quotes, whether it was Walt Whitman or not, he says it is, be curious and not judgmental. And one of our principles in the book is to be genuinely curious. And it's one of the, of all the principles, to me, it's one of the most interesting because it has that word be, like it's actually asking you to be something rather than just do something. And we, in some of our broader leader development, we use a TED talk actually about listening. And one of the points that she makes in this TED talk is that we get all this advice on how to be good listeners, to reflect back what we're saying. And then eventually she just says, like, you don't have to do any of those things if you're actually listening, that you can throw out all this advice, just actually listen. And that, I think that's just kind of what this is like. It's like, just actually be curious about what people have to say. And then the behaviors and kind of how you, your facial expression, your body language will all follow from being genuinely curious.
Well, this is a question for both of you that you can speak to. Tom, maybe you can lead out on this one. But what kind of, if this is the environments that we're creating and what true leadership's all about, what kind of impact do you think this could have on the healthcare community?
We've already seen it just in the organizations we've been working with. But if you think about it from a healthcare perspective, it makes so much sense. And actually, a lot of the research around this concept of speaking freely occurs in healthcare because patient safety, you know, And I have my own failures, which you'll hear about maybe even today or certainly in our course, where we learn that if people don't speak up, medical errors occur. And the importance of what we're talking about in healthcare is significant. Outcomes are better when the whole team feels empowered and trusted to say things. And there's just no question that we can make a difference with this simple, intuitive concept of speaking freely to change patient safety, patient outcomes. It's as simple as that.
But I think one of the most interesting to Palm's point in our book, or just in the whole concept, is that we turned to other research, like when we wrote it, and some really solid research, one from an organization called Vital Smarts that probably some of your listeners are familiar with. And they've studied this problem, and they have a stat. I forget the exact number right now, but it's in the millions of people who they say research shows get an infection every year globally, like annually globally in medical facilities because a doctor forgot to wash his or her hands. Mm-hmm. And in this paper, they essentially are teaching nurses how to tell doctors, like, you forgot to wash your hands. And there's all this advice. And this is not just the medical industry. Like, this is the way the world looks at this problem, in a sense, is let's teach people how to speak up. If they don't have permission, let's teach them to do it skillfully. Or they specifically tell nurses, like, express to the doctor that your intent is positive. I'm not trying to be a pain here, but you forgot to wash your hands. Now we're just flipping that. Just imagine cultures where it wasn't on the nurse to say it the right way or to have the courage or to figure out to study how to do it, but the doctors were just like, I want you to know every time you can tell me I forgot to wash my hands. Mm-hmm. And then that nurse just knows that I don't have to worry about this. It would do things like get rid of all these infections that are attributed to people not washing their hands. So.
Well, before we continue with this week's episode, here is a special announcement for you.
CMDA's Center for Well-Being helps Christian healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. If you find yourself feeling burned out and overwhelmed by your daily demands, please reach out to our team in the Center for Well-Being. After all, you pour yourself out for others every day, and this is a place to be refilled. Plus, we've been expanding our services in the center to help meet the great needs CMDA members have. You can sign up for certified coaching training courses that prepare you with the skills for coaching those in your sphere of influence, and our team can even help you walk through the difficult challenge of facing a malpractice lawsuit. Plus, we offer marriage enrichment weekends and retreats for our members to refresh and restore their marriages. Our team members have been where you are, and we want to help you through the challenges you face. Visit cmda.org/wellbeing to learn more. The 2024 CMDA National Convention will be here before you know it. Have you reserved your spot yet? We're joining together at the Ridgecrest Conference Center just outside Asheville, North Carolina on May 2nd through 5th, 2024. This is your opportunity to fellowship and worship with other Christians in healthcare as we raise His banner together. Our speakers at this premier event include evangelist Will Graham, the grandson of Billy Graham, human rights lawyer Ashley Chapman, Pastor Tony Evans, physician and ethicist Dr. Lydia Dugdale, and more. To reserve your spot at this year's convention, visit natcon.cmda.org.
Let's jump right back into this week's conversation.
Let me kind of shift gears just a little bit because, Tom, you wrote me several months ago and told me about a brand new video series that you developed on research and development on leadership training called Developing Your Authentic Leadership. And you wanted me to kind of review it. I thought to myself, well, I'll kind of scan through this material. I couldn't put it down. I just kept going to the next one. It was engaging. One of the best resources I've seen on leadership. It's absolutely excellent. Tell us a little bit about that series and what the Lord's doing through this project right now.
Well, thanks, Bert. I appreciate that. What we have done is the way we've been doing leadership development is that we, instead of really calling it a course or a program, we kind of picture it as a process. Mm-hmm. This process that you go through of growing as a leader, and you leading self and then leading others and then leading at an organizational or whatever system level. and impacting culture and things like that. And so we've been doing that for years now. And one of the things that we've heard, and I was actually just talking to a chief medical officer today at a healthcare system, and he was saying, you know, everybody needs to go through this process of this leader growth process you guys have. The issue is time that we have and resource, the money. You know, mm-hmm. how do we do that? And so, you know, before we were doing this in large organizations as a cohort, and I do feel a calling to get this out to the masses, for lack of a better word, just to everybody. Cause, you know, we've had people go through it and say, Tom, everybody needs this. And how do you do that? Because there are limited time and there is limited resources. So, you know, I actually went to Doug and I was like, hey, Doug, can we do this in a video series format and do it in a way that creates the same process that we develop and we get in this in-person or even virtual world of Zoom? And the first course that you experience developing your authentic leadership is the beginning of it. So there will be 10 sessions. It's the first two sessions of our whole process. So you just experience that kind of foundational component of it. And Doug, in his brilliance, says, you know, we created this first one and we continue to do the rest of them. But the value of it is you can then do it on your own. We put people, and you were part of it, into a cohort. There's 30 people doing it in the particular cohort that you were in, where you can read other people's answers. We do it on the Canvas format, which a lot of academic institutions are using Canvas to teach. So it can be interactive even between people if they desire. It doesn't have to be that way for a person, but it does give someone the chance to go through this process. And we believe in a very engaging way, as you mentioned, through some reflecting, through answering some questions and doing some work. And then to make it not just that one time, but to make this kind of the series that we're going to go through. So it gives us a way to really be able to reach out to a lot of other people. It's available online at thereferentgroup.com. And the other thing we're doing, particularly for physicians and then hopefully actually for dentists as well, and nurses, is providing that continual education credit. So not only can they do it, but they can use their money and resources that gives them some credits towards their continuing education as well. So we're super excited for it and to see how it can potentially get out there to a lot more people.
I've been writing on leadership for years and years and years. I went through this course and I learned so much about myself as a leader. And the reflections were powerful, the testimonies, the stories, the videos. It was just so engaging. I just couldn't wait to keep on going through it. Doug, let me ask you a question. You know, a lot of times in these courses, you're trying to make clones of other leaders. You push hard on this one course, leading from who you are. Talk a little bit about why and how this course is different than the average leadership course that many people go through.
Yeah, Bert, I think we've really dug into this notion of how is leadership development done. And it's typically done in like one of two ways. And not that either of these traditional ways are bad, but we just wanted to do it differently. People either come up with kind of a proprietary way to lead, an idea they have, and they teach that way. Or they look at, an organization looks at, what are the skills we think our leaders need, and it ends up becoming a little more skills training than actual leader development. The academic research to this date, especially from guys like the foremost experts, a guy named Bruce Avolio at the University of Washington, and Sean Hanna at Wake Forest, and before that, Bernie Bass. And I say these names just to point out that leader development is a science, a social science. It's been studied and evolved, and it's evolved to this point where this notion of authentic leadership is showing to get the most powerful results. And like, if I'm an introvert, I can't be an extrovert. I can't figure out how to command a crowd, but it doesn't mean I'm not a leader, especially if people are following me. And mm-hmm. I think a powerful example, Bert, is I had a couple of West Point cadets in my office a couple Fridays ago, and each of them I had a meeting with them because I have to give them an evaluation at the end of the semester on not only how they're doing in class, but who they are as leaders. We get assigned like six cadets out of the 50 that we teach. And the one in the morning, I asked her at the end of the session, like, what is your one big thing? That's another exercise we use, but you think that you could work on over the next couple of months to would provide you the most return on investment for becoming a better leader. And without even blinking, she said, it's confidence. Like, I need to be more confident. I have a tough time being assertive and correcting people and upholding standards. And we talked about that a little bit. 2:30 that afternoon, 6 hours later, I have a young man in my office who wants to be an infantry officer in the Elite Ranger Regiment, you know, came here because he knew he wanted to be in the Army. And I asked him the same question. And he said, I'm too confrontational. I rub people the wrong way because if I think they're not doing a good job, I just tell them and I've got to have more empathy. There's no way you could put those two in the same room and teach them mm-hmm. how to lead. That's why I think the executive coaching is a powerful part of our program. Like in between, you're getting individual coaching. But it's at the core, it's what I love that that's what you took away from the course. You learned a lot about yourself as a leader. And we truly do all have the capacity to lead. And in the healthcare industry, you're all going to have to lead in certain ways. So how do I do that? Well, it's not by trying to become somebody else or listen to these seven steps. It's figuring out who I am, what I need to work on, what strengths I need to lean into, and what things maybe I need to improve upon. But it's got to be an authentic journey, and we can't tell you how to do it because we're not you. We mm-hmm. don't know exactly who you are.
I think it was Maxwell who said leaders are learners. When you stop learning, you stop leading. What else has come in this series, you know, besides the first one that's already out?
Oh, it gets me so excited, Bert. In fact, we're about to release the one that's next, which is leading others. And I tell people, man, don't stop at that foundation, of course, of developing yourself an authentic leader, because we do that so that we can step in with convictions of what we believe and why we believe it and lead others in a way that brings out the best in them. So that's the next one, which we're excited to release soon. And then there'll be other sessions around leading others, how we elevate others, how do we develop trust, how we use power and influence. And then we'll start to transition into kind of how higher level leaders, how do we affect culture? You know, how do we lead at a higher level? So permission to speak freely will mm-hmm. be another session, which I think you will enjoy at some point when we get that one done as well. And that is, you know, that's cultural type stuff that you're trying to do as an organization when you're getting into those kind of things. We'll even have some capstone type case study things that we'll use as we continue to develop these. And then there's even some kind of smaller ones that people can do, which we found that have been incredibly valuable and very well received. Things like just taking a personality type test like DISC, where you can figure out how you communicate and understanding what you do compared to what others do and how you can work through that and add coaching to it, as Doug was already alluding to. So we have a lot of things that are coming that will help just build on this foundational one that you experienced.
Well, I can't wait for the next one and keep sending them our direction. Doug, let me ask you a question. When I first started teaching leadership here at the CMDA, I thought that our graduate doctors wouldn't be interested in the subject because they're out in the field and our students would really be engaged in the subject and line up. But it was just the opposite. Our graduate doctors were having people problems, people leadership challenges, and the students were like, why am I learning about leadership? I'm going into medicine. What's been your experience with training younger leaders, what the interest level is, and how do we equip both of them for leadership?
Yeah, I think Bert, it sounds a little self-promoting, but I guess in certain ways that's why we're here. But I think our process, this notion of like reflecting on yourself, ends up being relevant to everybody. So in terms of like when we get into a room, and we certainly will have this spread of people that we're working at a hospital. We'll have, you know, 36 people, six to a table, and those tables are made up of diverse groups. So you might have a young doc, and you might have a chief medical officer who's been in the industry for 25 years. And if I'm being honest with you, like I can't necessarily tell a difference between those two demographics in terms of their engagement with what we're doing. I think that we have taught some more senior people that have actually like mentioned to Tom on the side, boy, I wish I'd had this 20 years ago. So it's almost like when I needed it, I didn't know it. Now that I'm almost like on the tail end of my career, I'm getting it and I know I need it. But in terms of engagement with this process of understanding yourself and reflecting on who you are as a leader, I think most people are pretty engaged with it. I think just the relevance with younger professionals doesn't quite seem there yet. They're still trying to prove their worth and establish their credibility like in the functional aspect of being a doc and not thinking as much about leadership. But I think it's such an engaging process that everyone's at least all in when they're part of it.
I am definitely seeing young physicians, and I would say dentists, nurses, who care about this stuff. Even though I was in the military, we did leadership development when I was a resident, or you know, even a little bit in medical school. Even though I went to a civilian medical school, we did some of military training around it. But you still didn't really get trained to be a leader. You got trained to be a really competent clinician in whatever profession you were in. And that was the most important thing. But as we've started to do some of this stuff with these younger professionals, I feel like they're eating it up and they see the value of it. They wish their leaders had gone through this kind of stuff. I'm talking too much, but I'll tell you, one of the first cohorts we did, we had a family physician who had only been in out of residency training for 6 months. And I was actually his chief medical officer at the time. And he had said to me essentially, "Hey, Tom, I am anxious. I'm not sleeping well," like really almost symptoms of burnout, anxiety, depression from his practice. And he'd only been doing it for 6 months. And I was like, this is just wrong. This doesn't make sense to me, what environment we're putting our professionals in. So he actually went through one of the cohorts. I talked to the C-suite leadership. We should put him into this cohort. And just the simple ways of being to grow, he grew as a leader to impact the environment that he was working in. I watched him years later and I see how he's doing. And he was doing great. He had the ability, he felt more confident and the ability to impact the nurses he was working with, the front desk staff, whatever, the other professionals he was working with. And it changed. And those feelings, those symptoms of burnout, now it's still not like it was easy,
right,
but those feelings were improved. And it made all the difference for him in just the first part of his career, not even in a true leadership role, so to speak.
That's a great story. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Encourage the listeners to check out thereferentgroup.com and check out what the ministries, the videos, the books, the resources, and I hope that everyone listening will join us at the National Convention in our leadership track to hear permission to speak freely. God bless, guys.
Thanks so much, Bert. You too.
Well, one particularly important take-home point that stood out to me as I listened to this conversation was that if people in our patient care environments don't speak up, serious errors may occur in our healthcare settings. As Doug and Tom said, having the permission to speak freely, it can change patient safety and it can change patient outcomes. And overall, it can change the way we do healthcare. For more information about the courses that Tom and Doug were discussing and that they've been building over at the Referent Group, I encourage you to visit thereferentgroup.com. And be sure to look for the Referent Group at our upcoming 2024 CMDA National Convention. It's just in a few weeks, as they're going to have a booth in our exhibit hall along with a variety of other ministries and mission organizations along with other exhibitors. This week's episode is, I think, a great reminder for all Christians in healthcare that the people around us in the clinic and in the hospital and in our ministries are looking to us as leaders, whether we feel comfortable with that role or not. To continue this conversation, I'd like to recommend two books from our online CMDA bookstore. And those books are called Leadership Proverbs as well as Servant Leadership. And both are written by CMDA's CEO Emeritus, Dr. David Stevens, and Pastor Bert Jones, who you heard during today's conversation. The short, easy-to-memorize proverbs that you'll find in these books are written for leaders in every walk of life. Experienced leaders will use them to remind themselves of very core principles and to teach others. At the same time, they're going to help you follow the greatest leader who ever lived, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Jesus, who lives in each one of his followers, will give you insight, showing you where to apply these particular principles and the discipline to adhere to them. To get your copies today, just visit the new CMDA bookstore at cmda.org/bookstore. I'm going to ask you, friends, have you taken the 501 Foundations in Coaching course that we offer through our Center for Well-Being? If not, you have two opportunities to take this popular course coming up very soon. The first is a 2-day intensive option on April 4th and 5th, and the second is a 6-week option, which will be on Tuesday evenings, starting May 7th and running through June 11th. I have personally benefited from this course, and so have several of our senior leaders and staff here at CMDA. Over 300 people have taken this course already. This course provides 12 continuing education credits, and it'll equip you to listen and ask powerful questions that can help others, including your patients and their families. To find out more and to register, just visit cmda.org/coaching. Coming up next Thursday, Burt Jones is going to be joined by Dr. Steve Sartori, who is the founder of CMDA's Center for Wellbeing. He's working on a new program for our CMDA members and other constituents who are looking ahead to their retirement. So we ask him to join us on CMDA Matters to tell us more about the upcoming program. So be sure to tune in and learn more. I thoroughly enjoy closing out these episodes with a testimony from CMDA members, including our students who belong to one of our 350 plus campus chapters across the United States. So let me share this recent testimony that we received from a first year medical student. This student says, "CMDA has allowed me to explore how my faith might just be the basis of my practice of medicine in my future, and how to express myself in that space most truthfully to how I believe. It has also given me a faith community to rely on for guidance." These testimonies from students, well, they're constant reminders to me of how CMDA is making an eternal difference in healthcare, and how the resources that we provide, like those in our Center for Wellbeing, they're helping to create communities that help students and healthcare professionals thrive. It's exactly the conversation we were having today with Tom and Doug from the Referent Group. Because when we are thriving in healthcare, friends, we will be the best ambassadors of Jesus Christ, bringing His hope and healing to the world. That's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. We'll see you next week with Dr. Steve Sartori, God willing.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.